everyone that's hearing this may not agree with this story I'm about to tell, but this is a true life story. I walked it, lived it, experienced it, loved it, and I'm telling it just as I lived it and just as I experienced it. So just be patient and then you can draw your own conclusions. The title of the story is Loving Daniel. Much of life is routine and full of mundane repetition, which we get through every day by using our willpower to go about this matter of living, or as some like to think, existing. Sometimes, though, life hands you a delicious gift of the unexpected. Such was the day my daughter and I entered the nursing home. This particular nursing home was part of a retirement complex where my dad had stayed the last few years of his life. He was almost 92 when he died, having become difficult in his last few years. In spite of this, the staff had treated him very well, so when a friend asked me to help her in the nursing home craft department, I could not refuse her. My participation was my way of saying thank you to the people that had been so kind to a very sick old gentleman a few years before. I had been there about a month or so when my daughter decided to join me, and we had a great time helping the older folks with their crafts. But when the unexpected happened, we did not realize the full impact of it until later. One day, after we had been there a short while, a woman approached me and asked me if Kathy and I would go to a particular room and speak to the occupant, never telling us more. We both readily agreed, and you can imagine our surprise when we entered the room and saw a man of about 40 or so. We introduced ourselves and were asked to sit down opposite a recliner chair where the emaciated, obviously very ill man sat. He immediately said his name was Daniel and he had the flu, but would go home soon as he was recovering. We were dumbstruck by this declaration, for I felt in my inner being that he was not being truthful about his condition, but did not want him to see my expression that I did not believe him. So we made small talk for a while. We felt that we should not stay too long and prepared to leave. We asked him if we could return the next week to see him again, and he, much to our surprise, was eager to have us come back. We returned the next week, and when he started to tell us again that he was better, I immediately told him that I knew better, for I had been told by God that he had AIDS and would not live long. We did realize that God himself had sent us on this mission of mercy. All I could think of is that the woman heard from God and that the two of us had been chosen for this mission. What it made it more mysterious was the fact that the nurses on that floor could not figure out why Daniel welcomed us so freely when he would not allow any other visitors into his room, but he allowed us to return the third week. Well, this time our conversation came alive and we asked him if he knew Jesus Christ. He admitted that he did and that he knew his time was short and that he would see Jesus soon. He told us he had sinned mightily against God by his homosexual lifestyle, that he deserved to have AIDS for his rebellion against God, and that he would have welcomed his own death now that he found God's Son as his Lord and Savior. He told us that he felt blessed and free to go to God. We spoke of God openly then, and as we left to go, I went around his chair and pressed his head to my breast and told him we loved him. He asked us to please return the next week. I would have felt I had touched an unclean person, but no saved person is unclean in the sight of God, and I knew God wanted me to embrace him. We left in tears. The next week was the final week that we were to see our new friend. We sat quietly, not quite certain what to say to such a sweet young man that wanted to be released from this life to go to the next. What happened next surprised me and Kathy, and this entire experience was to change our lives forever. Daniel asked me, "Mrs. Gain, do I reach up to God, or will he reach down for me?" I must admit, His question took me by surprise, and I needed a few moments to get my thoughts together. This was a valid question asked by a wonderful man who knew he had a short time to live. I am not certain to this day what prompted the question, for he already knew that he would go to heaven, but I could only think that he had to have some final assurance. It was difficult to answer, but I started my answer with a question. Daniel, you have realized your guilt before God, didn't you not? And he said yes. I then asked him if he asked God to forgive him for all of his sins and for disobeying God for his lifestyle. Again, he said yes. And then I then said, Daniel, when you confessed your sins, accepted Jesus into your life, and accepted heaven in Jesus' name, you, dear boy, reached up to God. Now, God himself will reach down to you and take you unto himself. I got up, walked over to him, hugged him close, just allowing the love of God to speak any further words that we could not speak. We left in tears and awe. This was the last time we would see our Daniel, for he then refused to see anyone but close family, and a short time later, he died. We were sad to see him leave us, but jubilant that he was in a better place and well, happy, and healthy with God. As Kathy and I walked out into the corridor that last time we saw him, we realized what a wonderful experience we had witnessed and had been a part of. We both felt as though our feet were not even on the floor, but we felt elevated and could only come to the conclusion that God himself had allowed us to be a part of an awesome personal encounter with the living God, who so graciously allowed us poor mortals to experience a heavenly encounter with someone God was ready to call home. Neither Kathy nor I shall ever forget the man Daniel and the experience, but we know that we shall meet him in heaven, and such a reunion it shall be. After all, he is our new friend, and as friends, we shall know each other there. What further amazes me is the fact that he is the second such person God has sent us to, having known George where we worked. We were sent to confirm George's acceptance by God into heaven when he spoke almost identical words to us about his acceptance into the family of God after a life of homosexuality. What amazed us about both encounters with George and Daniel were the intense love we felt for both of them and the way we are allowed to minister this love when we so vehemently hated the lifestyle they both represented. I had always spoken negatively about such obviously rebellious and disgusting lifestyles and felt they deserved their punishment, which I believed AIDS was for them. Now I knew that God had worked healing and a miracle in my own heart. I could put the blame where it belonged, right into Satan's lap. He had lied, manipulated, and coerced many young men and women into believing that it is a normal lifestyle and there is no return from it. Scripture is definite about the cure for such a condition and disease, and that is confession and repentance, trusting God himself by the blood of Jesus to wipe away all desire for the relationship and all further entanglements by asking for God's Holy Spirit to teach, encourage, and strengthen any and every party to these lies and participation in this ungodly style of living. I felt that we had been allowed to be a part of the reconciliation they both went through to come to the final place of total acceptance of God's perfect will for them, forgiveness, and a new life. What more could we ask for, and what more could Kathy and I ask for? God asked us and blessed us. Are we not two of the most fortunate of God's people? We think so.